I hope that you didn't come here expecting a just kind of going through the motions sort of church or service or experience, because that's not going to happen.
Praise God.
We are seeking the face of God when we're here. And you know, that's not a one time and you get it right sort of thing. It's something that takes effort on our parts.
Amen.
It's not there by default. We have to put ourselves in a place where we are seeking God.
Amen.
In order to hear Him.
Yeah.
You know, we when we are in the presence of God, God moves. He wants to move in the midst of His people. That's His desire. It's His desire. The Bible said God is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit. Amen. And so that's why we are here today. And we worship. We don't just blast through songs. The praise team was talking about this morning. You know, and if we just blast through the songs, we're missing out on something. And there are moments of worship that we will miss. And so we take our time when we're worshiping. You know, it's not like we have a schedule that we got to keep and we just keep checking things off throughout our service, right?
Yeah.
But we're seeking the face of God. This is serious stuff.
Yeah.
Right? We ain't messing around here. We want the presence of God in this house. We want the presence of God in our lives. Why? Because it changes people. It changes us. It's like recharging our batteries. You ever, throughout the week, feel like that as each day goes on, there's more and more weight on you, and your knees begin to buckle a little bit more? And by the time Sunday rolls around, you're feeling pretty beat up. You know? And sometimes you come to the house of God and you don't have much to offer. Right? But when we come into the presence of God, we are recharging our spiritual batteries. We're recentering ourselves because the world knocks us this way and that way. Life does that too, wouldn't you say? Just life, right? In general. Kind of knock you a little bit, side to side. You heard of the school of hard knocks. Well, we're living it every day, friends, right? But praise God, we can come into His presence, His holy presence, and experience Him and take Him in and recharge those spiritual batteries. That's so important because it gives us strength to handle the onslaught of things coming at us throughout our week. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to see some of your faces today. I say that. Give me a minute. I ain't going there, is it? I haven't seen some of you in a while, and it's really good.
Amen.
It's really good to have you here. It's really good to see you, and I hope that you're going to stay to consume massive quantities of food with us after the service. No charge. Just stay. Just relax with us and have some fun and enjoy each other's company, okay? Why do bad things happen to good people? Have you ever wondered that? This could take a lifetime, right, to address. I remember when I was in college, this was one of the, I took a lot of philosophy classes, which I did not like at the time at all. However, they have proven to be very, very beneficial. Very beneficial. So I encourage any of you who are considering taking religion courses, take some philosophy. good stuff. You won't like it at first, but I guarantee you it will be beneficial to you. Why do bad things happen to good people? That is just so difficult to answer, you know. And who can know the mind of God, the Bible says? Who can know how God is thinking, you know? And he's sovereign, and that just pretty much means he's going to do what he wants to do, no matter whether we like it or not, right? And he doesn't have to answer to anyone. He is God Almighty. He is God Almighty. Often bad things happen in our lives. Things we don't understand. Things we never wanted to happen. The death of a loved one. The loss of a job. Divorce. Medical problems. Relationships falter. And et cetera, et cetera. There are many things that happen in our lives that are not wanted, are not welcomed, and yet they happen. And we try the best that we know how to figure it out. We go to great lengths to try to fix the problem. Oftentimes, we bear the scars of battles fought and lost. And those scars, they stay with us through our lives. We just celebrated Veterans Day. There are some of you here who bear the scars of serving your country. Thank you. We have wounds that never heal. Emotional, physical. And we do what we feel is right, and we wait on God, and we pray, and we ask, and we seek. And yet sometimes the answers still evade us. The answers are elusive. And sometimes when these things happen, we are convinced that God has abandoned us. That God has turned his face away. And we are convinced that God doesn't care. Otherwise, he would intervene. He would take all of this pain away. And so because he has not, he doesn't care. Or God doesn't hear our prayers. I've been praying for years about the same thing, and yet you still refuse to answer me. Maybe you don't hear my prayers. I think that that is a common thread in the lives of believers. And the Bible says to work out your faith in what? Fear and trembling. Speaking of philosophy, have you ever read anything about from the author Kierkegaard? Interesting. Interesting stuff. Fear and trembling. Work out your faith, because there's some questions that you just can't answer. And when you can't answer those questions, the only option, you got two options the way I look at it. You can either trust God in those times and say, okay, I don't like this situation at all, and I'm not hesitating to to say that to you, God. I don't like what you're doing here, but I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting that you're going to take care of this situation. I'm trusting that you're going to work it all out because it's killing me. Or you can completely just walk away and say, I've had enough. And some people do that. Some people that you know have done that. Some people here today, at one time or another, have done that. I'm done with this. And so we try to convince ourselves that we're going to do it on our own. Ever done that? Yeah? That just doesn't work well for me. I don't know. Sometimes we feel that God is angry with us because all the bad stuff that's happening in our lives. You ever feel like that? You could line them up one right after another, bad stuff happening to me. And so you feel like God is angry with me. And so he's bringing all this garbage in my life to keep me down. You didn't listen to me when I was praying that the one I loved would live. They still died. You don't care about me, and so I don't care about you. And our hearts get hardened. That's dangerous. Don't ever let your mind, and your mind will try to go there, but don't let those thoughts linger, because you know that you know that you know that God is in love with you. He adores you. You understand that? Sometimes for us guys, it's like, yeah, okay, just that's enough. Yeah. Okay. God adores. I got a hard enough time with my wife adoring me. God really, he adores you. You're his children. All right? There's nothing that he loves more. Nothing. As a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, he loves us so much. I just love the word of God. That he gave his one and only son. That whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And maybe we get to the point to where we're so fed up with it that we say, there is no God. There's no God, because if there was, he would be helping me. He'd be taking away my pain. He'd be fixing all these problems in my life. And because he ain't, there ain't no God. I got friends like that. And they convince themselves there's no God because of all the garbage that has happened in their lives. There's no God. Where was God when, and we ask these questions, where were you when, and you can fill in the blanks for your own lives. Where were you when I was going through whatever? Where were you when I was being abused? Where were you when the person I loved was suffering? Do you remember seeing me praying, hearing me? Did you hear me at all? Where were you? And we begin to question. Where were you when I was alone? Where were you? Didn't you see what was happening? Why didn't you do something? With all your power, why couldn't you just come down and make it all go away? That's what we want. We want God to take away all the problems in our lives. Like he's some genie. And we get three wishes. By the way, if you ever get three wishes, use your last one for more wishes. But we begin to push God away because he's not answering our prayers the way we want him to. Okay? He's not answering our prayers the way we want him to answer them. In Isaiah chapter 55, would you turn with me there? I'm going to do my best to keep things quick and concise today, but I make no promises. Okay? Isaiah 55. Verses 8 through 11. And you've heard these scriptures spoken before, but sometimes when they're used in the context of something that we're experiencing, they kind of fall, honestly, on deaf ears. We hear it, we get it, we think we get it, right? But until you're going through something, you're in the fire, yeah? You're in the fire, you remember those words. Now listen to this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. God don't think the way we think. Thank God, yeah? Wow. Neither are your ways my ways. So just because we do something a certain way, or the world says this is right and this is wrong, doesn't mean that's the way it is with God. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. And we quote this scripture often. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word. God's word. God doesn't think the way we think. You see, he's got the God's eye view of what's going on in our lives. He knows where we're headed. You know? He's got a bird's eye view, if you will. He can see it all. Some of you have traveled in airplanes to various states or countries. And you look down, if you're able, you look down on the place you just were, and within a matter of a few minutes, it doesn't look like anything familiar at all. And you can see for miles, miles. And God, that is a very, very narrow view to God because he sees it all. And I want to tell you that there is a purpose in the pain. There is a purpose in the pain. And I don't ever want, I know that some of you are here and some of you have suffered a great deal. And I know that you have endured a lot of pain in your lives. Some of it physical, some of it emotional, and so on. And I want to tell you that God will use it all to bring glory to him and so that you can help other people. And he will take your heart, though at once it may have been broken, and he will gently heal that heart. And he will restore what this pain or this abuse or whatever the case may be, he will restore that to you. If, okay, here's the qualifying statement here. If you give it to him. Amen. If you give it to him. Sometimes that's not easy to do. When you've been hurt before and there's been pain in your life, you're kind of a once bitten, twice shy scenario. You don't want to let nobody else take it because there is the risk. There's risk there when you trust someone, isn't there? There's risk. What if they don't come through? I'm going to get hurt all over again. And so we risk when we bundle it all up and we take it to the cross. And we lay it there. We risk in our minds that God may not come through. But we know that God is faithful. He will always come through. Always. And he always has our best interests in mind. And I want to promise you, I've seen it. I've experienced it. God will take your pain and he will use it to help somebody else. And he will bring out things in you that never would have happened had it not been for that very thing that you were hating. Okay? It brings out things in you that nothing else can bring out. And as a carpenter or mechanic or a tailor or somebody else has different tools that they will use for their trade, you follow me? A cook, okay? All have different tools to do their trade well. God has many tools. He's the master craftsman, and he has many tools to bring out the desired response, the desired characteristics in our lives. One of them, one of his best tools is pain. Is pain. It's never pleasant, ever, but it always, always teaches us something. And one of the main things that it teaches is how to trust God. When we finally come through it, and you will, friends, you will come through the other side. It's like you're going through a tunnel, right? And eventually you get to the end of that tunnel and it's daylight again, right? It's kind of the same way. You will come through it. You will. You will make it through if you hold on to Jesus for all that you're worth. He has a plan and he has a purpose. He knows what he is doing. And there's a scripture in Romans 8:28. We're going to be continuing this study here, just maybe for a week or two. I'm excited about this because this kind of hits us where we live. You know, funny thing about Scripture, it hits us where we live. You know, and all the stuff we've talked about this over and over, but all the stuff that we try hiding in our backyard, you follow me? All this dirty stuff we put in our backyard so nobody sees that stuff. They see our whitewashed fences, as in Tom Sawyer, right? Ain't heard that in a while, have you? And all in the front yards, boy, they look nice and manicured and they're pretty, and all the junk and garbage and old cars are in the backyard. And we try to hide that from everybody. Now God sees our backyards. He knows what we got hiding in our backyards. God knows. But I want to tell you, there is hope for us. There's hope for us. Maybe your marriage has gone south. Maybe your job is gone and all the hopes of your career are gone. Maybe your physical body, you got some medical stuff going on and there's no hope. It would seem that there's no hope for you. The doctors don't know what to do. Maybe this or maybe that, and you fill in the blank. There is hope. There is hope for you. You just keep holding on to Jesus. You know what is really important to God? Our faith. Our faith. The Bible says that it's worth more than gold. Gold is the most valuable thing in the world. One of them. And our faith is like that to God. Okay? Some of our faith is like this. All right? We got our faith that's about the size of that mustard seed. I passed out a bunch of those a couple years ago. You guys remember that? We got those little tiny balls maybe that you'll see in pickle jars, sweet pickles, right? Mustard seeds, okay? Just so you get an idea of what we're talking about here. And maybe your faith is that size. And the Bible says if you got that much faith, that little bit, with that little bit, you can move a mountain. Woo! You can move a mountain. And I'm not talking the Andes or the Rockies. I'm talking mountainous things in your life. And we can speak to these mountains with confidence, not in ourselves, not in our physical being, not in our speech, but because we're confident in the one who is standing behind us and beside us and who is leading. You follow who I'm saying? Yeah? If we got that amount of faith. But God doesn't want it to stay there. He's always trying to get more out of us. He's always stretching us. And it's uncomfortable. When some of you are fitness buffs, you like to work out, you like to keep yourself healthy, that's good. That's good. It's great for you. It's great for your body. But what's happening is you're tearing muscle. Do you understand that? When you work out, you are tearing muscle. Tiny, 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 little tiny tears. And then they heal and your muscles get bigger. Okay? But that's what's happening. It's painful. The next day, you feel pain. If you've done more than you normally do, you feel that pain. Okay? But it's good pain. It's good for you. And your body reacts to that and makes you stronger. And our faith is very similar. Our faith is stretched. Sometimes God, you know what? God is really good at taking us to the limit and then beyond. So where we feel like this is about as far as I got, Lord, that's uncomfortable to me, so I want you to stop right there, and then we'll be okay. Well, God's going to say, okay, and then he takes you over here, right? And he stretches you till you feel like you're going to die. And then you make it through, and you look back, and you say, I never thought I was going to make it. But here I stand, here I am. Perseverance. Perseverance is important to God. Sometimes there is nothing else that you can do but persevere. And you know what that means? That means you're just taking one foot in front of the other. That's it, friends. That's it. And you just keep going like this. And it just keeps going. And pretty soon a year has gone by. Or a few months or a few weeks. Yeah? And so you keep holding on and you keep moving. You don't stay there. You can't stay there. Do you ever see what happens to water when it's stagnant? When there's no water coming in and water going out? It gets stinky and yucky and looks bad and green. Yeah? It gets stagnant. Okay? But if there is a fresh flow coming in and a fresh flow going out, that water remains fresh. We can't stay in one place. We get stagnant. We stop growing. God desires that we continue to grow and to continue moving forward. Continue to follow. Continue to follow. Keep holding on to Jesus. Don't give up. There's hope for you today. Right in the situation you're in, right where you are in your life, there is hope for you today. Let's read this scripture. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Do you love him? Do you love God? Because if you do, there's good things in store for you. Even the bad stuff in your life, God's going to work for good and for your benefit and somebody else's. Yeah? Even the bad stuff. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We don't stay where we are. We continue to move forward. Our scars, our wounds, our battles, they change us. They change us. Those who have been in the service and served active duty, maybe in some wartime situations, were given responsibilities that were in some cases dangerous. Could cost you your life. And you get used to having that fear, okay? You get used to that fear and doing what with it? You handle it. You shove it back down. And that's the difference between heroes and everybody else. They take that fear and it doesn't stop them. They manage it. And they continue to do what they need to do. What their commander has commanded them to do. All right? Heroes are people that take that fear and they stuff it down inside and they go on at their own risk, fulfilling their responsibilities. The rest of us, when we see that fear, we kind of take a few steps back. That's the stuff heroes are made of. Hallelujah. You know, if we live our lives by what we see around us, if we live our lives by what we see going on in our own lives, we will cower in fear. And it will disable us, and the tracks to our tank have fallen off, and we are immobilized. I don't know why I'm using such references today, but it's fitting. Come on, give me a minute. But if we continue to look and base our decisions on what is going on around us, we will be misled, we'll be reactive, instead of being able to complete what is set before us. Do you follow me? Amen. And so the Bible says the righteous, and it says this a few times in a couple different places, Romans 1:17, if you're taking notes, Hebrews 10:38, Habakkuk 2:4, and the basic thing is the righteous will live by what?
Faith.
The righteous, us, will live by faith, not by sight, not by what's going on. Okay? Because we're trusting in the Master. He knows what's going on. He knows what needs to be accomplished. He knows the task at hand. And so we hold on trusting in the Master. And you know what? Sometimes it just seems like nothing makes sense. It doesn't make sense. And you've heard it said that God works in mysterious ways. Well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. Do you know that? It doesn't say that. It's kind of a translation in the New Living Version that God works in mysterious ways. And it's kind of based off of a few different things. And Isaiah chapter 45, verse 15, if you want to turn there with me. And it's kind of based off of this. And it goes, truly, you are a God who hides himself, O God and Savior of Israel. Who hides himself. Isn't that weird? Sometimes we lose sight of God in the midst of everything that's going on. He doesn't show himself right where we can see him. But our faith knows that he's there, right? Our faith, our spirit knows without a doubt that God is there. But our sight, we can't see him. We can't find him. God, where are you? I can't see you. But he's there. He's there. He's hidden himself, as it says in Isaiah. Truly, you are a God who hides himself. in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 5. I don't know if I have the right thing here. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. So basically the idea is trying. It's like sometimes God is elusive. Yeah. Does that make sense? We can't see him. Sometimes it's hard to feel in the darkness. And it's like the wind. It's trying, like trying to touch the wind or to see the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see what? The effects of the wind. You see where the wind has been, and you can kind of tell where the wind is going, but you can't see the wind itself until it affects other things. Does that make sense? So you can tell by what God is doing. Okay? Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. When Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been in prison, he returned to Galilee. This is not what I'm looking for. Where am I going? Sometimes I write down the wrong chapters and things like that. Forgive me. I'm sorry about that. But basically, what's that? Mark. Okay, maybe that's it. Let's look there. Is that the one? Yes. Thank you. The secret, okay, here we're talking about God works in mysterious ways. That's really not said that way in the Bible. It's kind of a translated thing, but the idea is kind of that, though, okay? And in verse 11 of chapter 4, it says, he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Secret. The secret of the kingdom of God. All right? And so as we read further, we can kind of get a little bit of a picture here. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, like little stories, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving. And he's quoting scripture here. And ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Okay? And so the secrets, this mystery, it's called the mystery of the kingdom of God, the prophecies, so many prophecies in the Old Testament, right? And so there's things yet to be fulfilled, questions yet to be answered, but when Jesus came, he answered all the mysteries. He fulfilled the prophecies, okay? In your lives, it may seem like there's no purpose. It may seem like there's no end to these difficulties. It may seem this and that, and it may seem that God has abandoned you, that God doesn't care. It may seem like there is no God, but don't you believe it for a second. God is actively involved in our lives to bring about things that he can use, to bring about things that are going to benefit us. Amen? Yes. I'm looking forward to next week. I want to continue this study. You guys remember hearing about Joseph? You guys remember that story? That is a story that'll change your life. That's a life-changing story. How many bad things happened to that guy? Okay? What about Job? What about Job? You know what? I didn't like to read Job because I was afraid some of that stuff was going to rub off on me. If I stay away from it, no bad stuff going to happen to me. That didn't work, but all right, but we can learn from it. Next week, we're going to learn from Joseph and from Job. All right? There's a couple guys who had some really bad stuff happen, but God completed a purpose in their lives. And it's been helping other people who are suffering for a long, long, long time. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Let's close in prayer. Let's just pray together here for a moment. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you. We want to give you all the praise and glory and honor that is due your name. Because there is no other name in this universe that is like you. There's no other king like you. There's no other God like you. There's no other Lord like you. We want to thank you that you care about us. The Bible says to cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. We hold all these things, Lord, in our hearts today. There's many of us who are standing here today who have suffered a great, great deal. And I pray that, God, you would hold tight to them, and I know that you are and that you will. And I pray that you would help us to see what's going on. Help us to continue to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Help us to persevere. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. And as it says in your word, that those who hope in me will not be disappointed. And I pray for those who are at the sound of my voice today are hurting. They're really hurting, Lord. I pray that you would comfort them by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would make yourself real to them, O Lord. That you would show yourself strong in their lives. And that you would, in fact, bring them through to the other side. We pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.